Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lean Keys, Real Talk, in here with another episode. I won't say we're back because we always been here, so there is no back if you look at that. But now we're in here again, and about to put on a great show for y'all. Our boy Evan's not here tonight. He's doing something. I forget what he said he was doing, but he's doing something, enjoying himself, so that's good. And me and my boy Lee, you're going to rock out, just like the day one. Just like the day one situation, you know. So we're gonna get to it. Definitely some good things to talk about tonight. You have a one championship card that's coming up. It's actually free on TNT on regular cable. So that's gonna be coming up. The main card starts at 10 o'clock. So your boy Demetrius Johnson is gonna be fighting. You know, Demetrius Johnson went over to one. He's going to fight Adriano Moraes for the – I don't know if it's the flyweight title or it's the bantamweight title.
Flyweight.
Okay. Is there a flyweight title actually at 135?
I think there's range between 125 and 130.
Oh, okay.
Their weight class is kind of different.
Okay, so we'll definitely have that. We're going to be talking that. I mean, we'll see how it goes. So, you know, there's a number of things. You know, Aljo, you know, we got Aljo, some Aljo news that, or rumors that I heard earlier that I'm going to want to dive into in a little bit here. But how's everything going? I know we were talking. How's it going?
Oh, man, everything good, man. Just hanging in there, taking it day by day, bro. Getting ready for this one championship tonight. It starts 10 o'clock out there, out your way. But that's one good thing about living out here. It's 8 o'clock our time, so it's a little bit earlier.
I'm glad to hear it. I know I'm doing pretty well over here myself, so I'm very glad to hear it. You know, I wanted to kick off the show and make a statement here. This is not related to this sport of mixed martial arts. This is more music related, more hip hop related. You might know what I'm about to say. And I just gotta put this out there. First of all, you know, I was hurt when I saw the news that DMX, hip hop artist DMX, had a heart attack. They say he's in, you know, a vegetative state. I read an article the other day. It said he's in a vegetative state, in a coma right now. And I think they said he has little to no brain activity. So that was hurtful news for me to hear that, you know, because that was a guy that, well, not was, that is, you know, that is a guy that, you know, that was, he introduced me to hip hop and rap. DMX was quite literally one of the first guys I ever heard. You know, when I first heard the genre, I'm talking back when I was, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. DMX was one of the first guys I heard before I could even understand what the music was. You know, before I even understood music enough to really, you know, put together a thought about what I liked. So DMX was one of the first guys I heard, and you know, me and my brother, you know, listened to him, and you know, I have a lot of love for DMX, so I'm praying for him and for his family, and I hope, you know, even though he's not doing so great right now, I hope everything turns out for the best for him. And another thing, and I hope everything turns out for the best, you know, for DMX. I hope he makes it out of it. You know, I hope he makes it out of it. So I'm praying for him. And point two that I want to make is the New York Post had the audacity to put out an article earlier today, and the story, the headline reads, the story was about, it said, it was about all the houses that has lost over his career. Now, why would you put out an article like that? Why would you put out an article like that when you know he's in the hospital and he could be, he could he's basically dying in the hospital. He's basically dying in the hospital. They said he has little to no brain activity. And the New York Post has the audacity to put out an article talking about the houses that DMX has lost over his career. What are y'all talking about? I just can't believe that they would really go and they would really move like that. You know what I mean? That was super disrespectful. And honestly, that is trash. That is complete and utter trash reporting. Okay, that is trash journalism, and that is weird clickbait. Okay, that's a weird type of clickbait. That's not even clickbait. Clickbait's usually interesting clickbait. Nobody wants to read that article. Nobody wants to read that article. Okay, so you're just basically pissing people off is all that is. So if you wanted people to talk about you, and you want people to talk about the New York Post, congratulations, you did that. But it's all bad publicity. Because they're all going to say, you know, they're all going to say F the New York Post, man. That's what most people are saying. That's what I'm saying because, you know, we don't really swear on this show, so I won't do that. But that's how I feel, and that's what you're getting. So if that's what you were going for, then congratulations. But the New York Post is complete trash. So just very disappointed that they would even make a move like that in such a difficult time for his family and for him. So. Shame on the New York Post. Y'all should be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah, man, that's kind of – but see, the thing is, what kind of narrative even that? What y'all – they trying to – I mean, what's the purpose of slandering the man's name while he's fighting for his life? You know, everybody make mistakes. Everybody know – if you're a DMX fan, you know all the trials and tribulations he's been through. You know, but – to me, that's just low and dirty. I was just looking at Saturday, April 27, 2019. I attended a DMX show. It was the 20th year of DMX, his first album coming out. And, man, he looked good doing that show. He put on an excellent show. And like you said, man, wish praying for him and his family. That he pulled through, although the news right now isn't looking good. So, you know, man, it's just one of those things. Hopefully you pull through, dog.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with that. You know, I figured that you would have seen that, you know, and I had suspected that you were a fan of his too. I wasn't sure, but I wanted to say that we did. I thought we had talked about him before, but you know, I figured you knew where I was going with that. But yeah, so that's I just wanted to make that PSA in the beginning of the show just to put that out there. But yeah, we can get into it. What do you want to hit first? Do you want to talk about Aljamain Sterling?
Yeah, man, let's go ahead and talk about that, man. Ben, that's kind of weird. That's kind of it kind of seems a little suspect to me, but go ahead.
Okay, so the thing that really kills me about this, right, is the first time. See, so if you listen to my show before, you understand that one thing that Keys likes to do is I like to backtrack a little bit. When I dive into a topic, sometimes I got to backtrack because, you know, there's a little bit of history of it. So just to make it short. The first time I ever watched Aljamain Sterling fight, he was still unranked. It was like one of his first fights in the UFC. He was a complete no-name. I'd never even heard of him. Nobody I knew ever said his name. I watched him. I was a fan of him for his first fight. And it wasn't even necessarily because of his performance, but I just looked at him. Because I don't even think he had a – you know, I think it was a competitive fight. It wasn't even anything crazy. But I want to say he won a decision. And from that point, I was a fan of him. At this point, fast forward, he makes it to the title fight. You know, I'm super proud. You know, I'm a very proud fan, very excited for him. I feel like he was losing the title fight. He was probably on his way to lose a decision. Then there's an illegal strike. You know, he ends up winning by disqualification, so he wins the belt. So now Aljamain Sterling is the champion. You know, and it's kind of a half, it's a bittersweet win because it's, yeah, I wanted to see him be the champion, but in that way, not really. So then now he's the champion, and I guess he came out today and said that the UFC offered him the rematch, the rematch with Petr Yan for the belt for May 15th. And he declined May 15th and then came out and said, now this hasn't been officially confirmed. Like, I haven't seen Vokamoto say it or anything. But supposedly he could be out up to 9 months with his, I guess he has to have surgery, and he has some other injuries too. So with that, with those things combined, he could be out up to 9 months as the champion. And I just think, what do you think? I'll go to you. What do you think? What do you think about that?
Man, when you text me that, I was like, hold up. At first I thought it was you said Aldo, but I read it because I read it kind of quick. I was like, Aldo. I was like, damn, boy, that would be bad for him because he already kind of old and, you know, having to miss that much time, that's not good for him. Then I went back and read it again. I was like, Aldo. And I just started laughing. I was like, 9 months. I'm like, an illegal knee strike is going to cause him to be out 9 months. Because I don't remember them saying anything about him suffering any injuries after the fight, except maybe being concussed. But at the same time, it goes back to something that you said. But he up here talking about Cejudo, though. Until the UFC confirmed that he's going to be out 9 months, I'm calling BS on this one, bro. I just don't. I know the strike looked bad, and it was bad, but I don't think it's being out 9 months bad.
Well, the thing I'm wondering is he talking about a different injury? Because the thing that I'm wondering is if it doesn't have to do with the blow to the head, and doesn't even have to do with that, and it's something else, like maybe he hurt himself some other way in the fight, or maybe his legs or a tricep tear or something that we just – because, like you said, it hasn't been confirmed, and we really don't have the inner details of it. You know, I don't even know what the injury is. You know, I just saw that it was – he was going to need to go through some surgeries, and, you know, he had injuries he had to deal with, and that might be 9 months. But, you know, Vokamoto hasn't said it. You know, Ariel hasn't said it. So, you know, you make a good point that it's not really official like that yet. So we don't have to jump too crazy into conclusions. But if that does end up being true, I'm going to be real disappointed in him. I'll say that.
Man. well, hopefully it's another injury. If it's another injury, then we have to just go ahead and, you know, we have to grow with that. But if they saying there is that knee to the head on that bonnet, but we shall see. I'm trying to find it now. They saying need a surgery. While the time of Sterling potentially needed surgery may come across as convenient, they don't say what he needs the surgery for. Yeah, it doesn't say what it's for. All right, hold up. There's one that's a fusion. Oh, so he does have an injury. They talk about disc replacement, so this could be something in his back. Wow.
He hurt his back?
Yeah, the way I'm reading it is something with his back. He said, I'm a little banged up, lingering issues from around 10 years ago. It's just got progressively worse with every single fight camp. I'm at a point now where surgery is potentially on the table. I'm starting to get muscle weakness in my arm if I don't have some miracle release of my muscles where I can actually start to go do push-ups and pull-ups, I really don't know what else I'm going to be able to do other than a surgery. So it sounds like it's something with his back. Wow.
Okay. Because when I searched it, I didn't find anything either. It was just all articles about, there was literally articles talking about the Twitter wars. There's literally articles that are written about the Twitter wars that they've been having after the fight and all the allegations like, oh, you know, Jan says that, you know, this was a fake injury. And then, you know, Sterling says that, you know, it wasn't, you know, that this happened. And then his coach said that he was confused. And it's just like, man, please, like, I'm so sick of the situation. The situation is so lame. Like, it's like, can we get a fight, please? Like, if he's going to be out, man, I'm sorry, but, you know, he's going to need to, like, come back and fight for that belt again. I don't really want to see him sit with the belt. I mean, especially when you didn't even really win it. Like, it was a DQ. It's kind of bogus. Like, you know, I'm okay with him winning by DQ, but then not to sit on the belt, like, for the basically through the rest of the year. Like, I don't need it. That's kind of irritating to me, you know, to see that. So I would say if he's actually injured and he's going to be out 9 months, I hope the UFC moves to strip him of the belt, put it vacant, and then have Jan wait for the winner of Sandhagen and TJ Dillashaw. And then you take those, you know, take Jan, have him fight the winner, and then, you know, that one's for the vacant belt.
And I totally agree with you 100%. And let me correct myself. It's a neck injury, not a back injury. It's a neck injury. But, being that he didn't win it outright, I don't have a problem with them stripping him of the belt and moving on. And you have Jan fight the winner of TJ and Sandhagen, and then we just keep it moving. And then when he comes back, you know, he gets the first crack. So there's no need to hold this division hostage. And let's keep it moving because it's one of the deepest and best divisions that they have right now. And when you start letting fighters get stagnant, then what happens with them is what's happening at 170. They start turning down a lot of fights. So let's keep it moving, man. Ain't no need of waiting for, you know, Sterling to come back after 9 months. Let's just go ahead, strip him of the belt, and move forward.
And I'm actually happy, too, because speaking of 170, I mean, these are other announcements that we haven't got, you know, the official announcements of four, but, you know, sources that typically break news and then that same news goes on to be confirmed, put it out there that Neil Magny is supposed to be fighting, I guess, Neil Magny, that they're trying to have him and Jeff Neal fight. They're trying to make that fight, you know, that's in the works. So if so, I'm on board with that. I think that's a great fight, Neil Magny and Jeff Neal. And then, at the same time, we heard that, or we're hearing that Gilbert Burns is supposedly fighting Wonderboy Thompson, and I think that's a great fight too. So you pretty much have Walt, and then Usman and Masvidal are going to fight in like a week or two. So I think the division is making its moves. You know, you really only have Kobe Covington. That's and then Leon Edwards is fighting Nate Diaz. So you pretty much have everybody, almost all of the top welterweights have a fight at this point. You know, it seems like most of these guys that I wanted to see, you know, we didn't have any of these announcements about 2 weeks ago. We didn't have any of those announcements. Besides the Masvidal, I think we had the Usman and Masvidal fight. We had that one, but that was the only fight that we knew about. And even that, we didn't really think was sorting out the division. We had all these guys sitting in limbo. But now we got a couple welterweight announcements in the past week or two. And the division seems like it's starting to sort itself out. So, I mean, which of those fights do you think has the biggest potential?
Man, that's tough. I think the one that has the most on the line is Leon Edwards taking on Nate Diaz, because Edwards is basically, I want to say he's like ranked number two or number three, something like that. And if he wins, you could basically pencil his name, not pencil, you could put his name in and permanent marker to fight the winner of the Usman Masvidal 2 fight. I think he has the most to lose, whereas I think Stephen Wonderboy Thompson has the most to gain. Right now, he's let me pull my rankings up. I want to say he's like number five or something like that. And if he beat Gilbert Burns, that might put him in a right down the outside looking in. So I like where he's at, and I like the fact that he's actually speaking up, saying that he wants to fight for the belt. Closed mouth don't get fed, and as we know, sometimes he that barks the loudest gets fed in the UFC. So I like it, bro. I really do like it. Yeah, Thompson is number five. Masvidal is number four. Edwards is number three. And Burns is number two. And Kobe is number one. So I think if Stephen Thompson beats Gilbert Burns, we possibly get Stephen Thompson versus Colby Covington as a title eliminator. So I'm all for that, bro. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think those are some great fights, and you know, there's a lot of implications with each of those fights. You know, stylistically, they're interesting too, because you know, you have Jeff Neal and Neil Magny. It's like, you know, Neil Magny, you know, he doesn't always fare well against guys who are heavy on the striking side. Are guys that are gonna wanna throw a lot of volume. You know, Neil Magny doesn't always do well with those kind of opponents, but at the same time, Jeff Neal, we really haven't seen him versus a guy like Neil Magny, you know, of that level. That, you know, if Neil Magny gets him in the clinch or shoots for the leg to take him down, you know, we really haven't seen that. You know, Jeff Neal fight a guy on Neil Magny's level in those areas, you know, because Neil Magny is very dominant. You know, once he can, if he can get you in the clinch or take you down and, you know, use his body weight against you, if he can do that, then we've seen guys get completely dominated. You know, he's very good in that area. He's very good in that area. So I think that stylistic is it. Yeah, go ahead.
Plus, one thing about Magny is since he's been back, he's like a totally different guy, man. He looks a lot more confident in there. It's just something about the way he's going about his business now inside the Octagon that I really like. I like Jeff Neal as an up-and-coming guy, but I want to say he lost his last fight. Against somebody.
Yeah, Jeff Neal. Yeah, Jeff Neal got dominated. I think he actually fought Wonderboy.
Yeah, he didn't look good in that fight to me. So, I like the fact that the UFC is they not burying him, or they see something in him, so that, you know, they still put him where he is in the top 15. So, you don't want him fighting back. So. I like this fight, bro. I really do.
Yeah, it's funny because we were just saying that, you know, probably two, three weeks ago, we were just saying that welterweight is arguably worse than boxing. And then actually in the reverse, what ended up happening is boxing kind of got to a standstill. and then welterweight actually, if you really look at it, boxing kind of got to a standstill because, you know, at the time that we said that, you know, I think you had said, you were like, wow, how's the welterweight division we can't even get one fight in the welterweight division with the top 10 guys. Nobody wants to fight, but yet we were somehow able to get Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua signed contracts before we were able to get anybody in the top 10 welterweights to fight. You had said that, I'm pretty sure. And then actually in the reverse, what ended up happening is now all the welterweights are starting to get booked. Pretty much almost the whole top 10 is booked besides Covington. And now Tyson Fury is making Instagram posts saying TikTok on the clock because he's getting, you know, about the official announcement of his fight with Joshua. So that fight is kind of in limbo now. It's supposedly signed, but it's kind of in limbo. It seems like it's at a standstill. So things have kind of gone in the reverse direction since we said that.
Yeah, I think this is like gamesmanship with Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua right now. I think what's going on is they know they got a two-fight deal. I think Fury wants both fights to happen in 2021. I think Joshua wants the first fight to happen in fall of 2021 and the second fight to happen the first quarter of 2022. So I think just a little bit of gamesmanship, but they have signed, they have agreed on the fight. So we just got to wait on it to happen. But I'm glad the welterweights have stepped up, bro, because me and you, I want to say that was one of your rants a couple of weeks back about the welterweight division basically being in a stalemate or hiatus. And now that everything is moving forward, it gives us some good fights to look forward to. And it's going to clear up who the contenders are and who the pretenders are. And that's all we want as fans. We just want to know who are the guys that we should be looking for to fight the champion. And, you know, right now, with everything that's going on and with them making these fights, I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I'm really happy about it too, because I think that it's with all these fights getting booked, I feel like this division is just going to keep rolling, you know, like the winner of Usman and Masvidal is the winner of Usman and Masvidal is going to have, I mean, most likely if Usman wins, which, I mean, Usman is my pick to win, if y'all didn't know, but more so if Usman wins, you know, he'll have two wins over Masvidal, as where if Masvidal were to win, then I think that the UFC would move for a trilogy fight, or Masvidal would push for the trilogy fight, so then that would kind of hold up that, you know, hold up that title until they can do the trilogy fight. So I think that not only Usman, like, not only do I have Usman winning, but I think the best case scenario for the division is Usman wins. So then you can move on from Masvidal and let him go take a seat somewhere, and then you can have all these other guys, once all these fights play out, you can pretty much move on with the title right away, and then, you know, Usman can defend his belt, you know, for the third time this year, probably whenever he wants to fight. I don't know how the fight's going to go, but whenever that, you know, probably soon after.
I want to pick Masvidal so bad, but Usman has looked so good since he won the belt. It seems like he's got better in his striking, and we know what he can do on the mat. Man, I want to pick Masvidal so bad, man. But if you was to ask me today, I'm going with Usman to beat him again. And I don't know where Masvidal goes from there. Because as long as Usman is the champ with two losses against him, you're not going to get another title shot. So his best bet would be basically hoping to get a Kobe Covington fight, that grudge match fight. So, but we got a long way to go. See how everything shake out, you know. But at least shit is happening. That's all we wanted, was stuff to be happening. So
yeah,
give us something to look forward to this summer.
That's exactly right. That's all we wanted. You know, that's all we wanted was to, you know, have fights start getting made, and fights are definitely getting made. So, you know, you even have Nate Diaz, you know, coming up, or whatever you want to call it, you know, having another fight in his division, you know, which I didn't foresee that happening. I didn't think that would be something that would happen. That was kind of random for me, and I like the fight, though. You know, Leon Edwards and Nate Diaz, I think that could be a really good fight. So, you know, they're good fights, too. They're quality match. It's quality matchmaking, you know, if you ask me. I think it's quality matchmaking.
I think the only person that gets screwed in this, though, is Michael Chiesa, man. He's the only one that kind of gets screwed in this. because he doesn't have a fight. And you know Colby Covington ain't going to fight him because he's the number one ranked guy and Chiesa is number seven. So Chiesa basically...
What if they put Chiesa with Luque? Luque just beat Woodley, so Luque's got to be moving up to, like, at least number six. I think him and Chiesa will be, like, probably right under, you know, right next to each other in the rankings once they update the rankings.
Yeah, Chiesa is seven, Luque is six. And we know Damian Maia have a fight set up. I would go with Luque versus Chiesa, you know, seven versus six.
Yeah, I think that's those are the two guys that are open right there. I mean, if you look at it, Luque is probably going to fight soon. I mean, I wouldn't doubt, you know, he fights again or they're already working on a fight for him. I mean, he hardly even took damage against Woodley. I didn't even see him take any big shots. You know, he won by first round. I think it was first round or second round submission. So, you know, I think he should be good to go. And then what do you think about this, you know, Holland and Marvin Vittori is this weekend, bro? Like, do you see that stuff? You know, Vittori was at the pre-fight presser, and he's saying he's basically insinuated that Darren Till is faking the broken collarbone and because he doesn't want to fight. That basically what it sounds like to me. You know, he didn't really say that outright, but that's what it – because he said – he talked about how Darren Till didn't post the x-rays. And Vittori was like, if I would have broke my collarbone, I would have posted the x-rays for y'all. So I'm kind of getting suspect about how – you know, he's saying he was suspect about how Till didn't post up any pictures, and he just kind of went silent.
To me, I just think that's I hate to cuss, but I think that's kind of chicken shit on Vittori's part. I don't think that he would go and fake an injury, you know, especially a collarbone injury. But you remember when the UFC used to come out of confirm injuries, Keys? They don't do that anymore. They normally will come out of confirm injuries, but now if somebody say that they hurt, the UFC just rolls with it.
I did notice that.
Yeah, because the UFC will come out and confirm, but now they don't confirm. And when a fighter pulls out, they just take the fighter's word, which I think is kind of what Vittori is saying, that if the UFC can take your word, you can say whatever you want. But if Till isn't in a sling, or he hasn't been in a sling because of the collarbone, then there is a possibility that he could be lying about it. But I'm going to take the man at his word that he's injured. So, and plus, the way he was talking on that Instagram post, Vittori was going to be light work anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, he called a man light work.
Yeah, I mean, he sounded like that hit his heart, you know what I mean, in saying that. That really struck a nerve with him. And I can't really say I blame him, because if I had somebody on my back trying to put that, put that kind of narrative on me, and I'm already, you know, in a tough spot, and I already just lost out on a lot of money not being able to fight. You know, that's not a good thing for him, you know, to lose out on that payday. You know, he's not going to get, you know, it's not like he weighed in, you know, and got paid to, you know, for the fact he weighed in and then the fight didn't happen. Like, he didn't even weigh in, so he's not even getting, you know, show money or the fight money. So it's, you know, he's not getting anything. So that he's just, it's not a good situation. You know what I mean, that's a stressful situation, and to me, you know, reading the way he was talking, it just sounds like a man who is very stressed out right now. You know, very very frustrated with with his situation. You know, I believe him. I think he is injured because, you know, I don't think he would be – that would have set him off as bad if he didn't have – if he didn't have a broken bone. I don't think that him saying that would have set him off like that if it wasn't actually – you know what I'm saying? Like, if it wasn't the case and he was lying, I don't think he would have popped off like that on an Instagram post. I don't think he would have – went about it that way because he, you know, he just seems stressed out. He seems really stressed out.
Yeah, he's saying, hey, he's saying like old boy questioning his manhood. He ain't like that. Till came at him, dog. I like it. But I think Darren Till is a professional. He hasn't done anything to give us cause to pause or to make you think or make us think that he's faking an injury. So I'm going to take the man at his word. He hurt. And guess what? If he hurt, then you going to have to – you still get a fight this weekend. And this might be a tougher fight than you thought you was going to have because Kevin Harlan, I think, is going to come in hungry. He's coming in to show that his performance against Brunson was a fluke. But being that it's so short of a turnaround, I think Kevin might fade, man, if Vittori wins, dog. I think Vittori wins a unanimous decision on Sunday. I mean, Saturday.
Yeah, that's what I had said too. You know, my early pick was Vittori unanimous decision, but no, I don't want to get deep into that. You know, I might not even be watching that card because it's kind of like during the day for me. It's probably even earlier into the morning where you're at. So I don't know. I mean, you might be watching it. You might be able to. I'm probably not going to be around to be watching it. But you know, maybe I'll just catch like the co-main or the main event. You know, that'll be on around like probably 4 or 5 o'clock.
This card doesn't move the needle for me.
What was that?
This card doesn't move the needle for me, bro.
Yeah, I'm not really invested. That's why I said I was like, you know, I might catch the co-main or the main event if anything, but you know, I may not even watch it at all because it's beyond me not being interested in the fight card, like in the matchups. Really, I'm not. The time of the day is just not my cup of tea. You know, I'm not really a guy who wants to watch fights, you know, in broad daylight. That's just not, you know, I came up on watching UFC like, you know, late at night, at least like 9 o'clock. Like even in the early days when I used to, you know, when I first like found interest in UFC back when Chuck Liddell used to fight, like, you know, those times it was still on like 8, 9 o'clock. Like that idea of UFC is at night. You know, and I'm not – the daytime fights, just it's not really it don't really do it for me. You know, it just kind of feels like weird, especially on a Saturday. I kind of want to get out and go enjoy, you know, being outside on a Saturday. I don't really want to be cooped up watching some fights. You know what I mean? It's not really what I'd want to do.
Yeah, because the prelims start noon your time. And yeah, the prelims start at noon your time, and the main card starts at 3 p.m. your time. And then I'm looking at the card. I mean, you got Vittori versus Kevin Harlan. I want to say this guy Arnold Allen. I seen him fight a lot the way he fight going against Yusuf. But then you start having all these like funky little matchups, man. Like, even Mike Perry is on this card. You know how I feel about Mike Perry. So, yeah, I'm probably not going to – I mean, they got some good fighters up here, but as far as the fights themselves, nothing really is jumping out at me. Yeah, nothing is really jumping out at me as far as you got Jim Miller, main event in the prelims, and then you got Mike Perry opening up the main card. You got Mackenzie Dern up here. They got her as an underdog. Sam Alvey is an underdog. So, yeah, man, I probably just watch the post-fight show on ESPN Plus, and that'll probably be me.
Yeah, that's a snooze. That's a snooze for me right there. But, you know, your boy is fighting, man. Your boy, actually, you know what? We'll wait on that one. We'll wait on that one. Hold on. Actually, we're gonna get into that after this one. This topic I want to bring up next. So I'm seeing the tweets, right, between Poirier and McGregor. I'm seeing the tweets.
Okay.
And I'm not, you know, I'm annoyed by the Twitter wars between Piotr Jan and Aljamain Sterling. So don't try to back say I'm backpedaling on what I was saying. Because I'm not a fan of the Twitter war itself. It's just the concepts of what's being talked about because the fight is already booked. You know what I mean? Like, it's a completely different situation because these dudes just fought in January and they're already booked to rematch. The situation with Aldo and Jan is different because these dudes, you know, just fought also, but now, you know, we might not see them rematch until 2022. You know, there's no sign of a rematch for them. And all they're doing is just tweeting back and forth and you know, taking pictures of Cejudo and posting memes. Like, I just think it's kind of two different worlds. But, you know, Conor and Dustin been tweeting. And Conor was tweeting something about, like, going back to his old training, you know, where he used to train every single day, you know, even on Sundays. And, you know, going back to that kind of regimen that he was on that got him his, you know, two belts in Cage Warriors and his featherweight belt in the UFC. And, you know, Poirier responded to it, and which was kind of weird because it didn't seem like it was even a knock on Poirier. But I think Poirier might just be fired up about the trilogy, and he responded. He said, I forget what he said. I never slack. Poirier said, I never slack. I'll meet you in the middle of the octagon on July 10th. So I think Poirier is a little fired up there. McGregor kind of responded with something. I don't know all of it, but it kind of sounded like he was, you know, kind of threw a jab at Poirier for, you know, saying that, but also, you know, the fact that he shot for a takedown in the first 30 seconds of the rematch. So kind of saying, like, you know, how could you say that and then really not stand and fight? You kind of shot for the leg, but you know, you definitely see the two guys starting to have some back and forth, and I kind of like that, you know, going into the trilogy because, you know, I feel like, you know, McGregor not only, you know, super overlooked Poirier in the rematch, I think he was looking through him, which was bad. You know, it was bad, and I feel like that came back to bite him, you know, that came back to bite him pretty hard, pretty bad, and, you know, he got knocked out, and you know, you can't overlook guys. You know, you can't overlook your opponents and look on to the next fight. You know, we've said that on this show many times. When you have guys doing that, thinking about other fights while they're fighting their current fight, you know, a lot of times those guys lose because you have to be focused on the fight that's already in front of you. You know what I mean? You can't be looking into the next fight. So, you know, Conor did that, and he got knocked out. He got paid for it. But now it seemed like they're starting to get, you know, have some back and forth, and they look both pretty amped for this next fight. And that's making me pretty amped for this next fight. And, yeah, what do you think about that, though?
I think for Conor, coming out of his nice zone might be his best way to try to use your term, mental warfare, against Dustin Poirier. But being that Poirier beat him in the last fight, I don't think there's any mental warfare that can actually be used on Poirier. The thing is do we really think Conor is going to train like he said he was going to train? Me personally, I say no. Conor isn't just a fighter anymore. Conor is a businessman. So you have to say that he's going to train, but will he go full bore like he used to? I say no. I also feel that until he adds more wrinkles to his game, outside of just that left hand and standing. You even said this the other day in our group chat. One-trick ponies don't survive no more in MMA, dog. One-trick ponies, once you get figured out, your career basically, you either going to have to revamp yourself or your career is basically over. And if Conor can show us something that, something different, I just think he can be had. He can be had in the wrestling game, and he doesn't check leg kicks. But let's see what he looked like, man. You know, maybe he's rededicated himself. You know, he is a big draw in the UFC. Every time he fights, he brings his fans with him, bringing the whole country of Ireland with him. So maybe fighting in front of fans is something that he needs too. You know, I know you said that about Ferguson, but maybe that's something that Conor needs too, bro. Maybe he needs to be fighting in front of a packed house or in front of, you know, at least 10,000 fans.
Yeah, I mean, I know that. You know, I actually forgot that that fight was at, I think, the UFC Apex. Or Fight Island. I forget where it was. Oh, yeah, it was at Fight Island, I think. But, yeah, there wasn't – I don't think there was any fans there. So I forgot that this coming fight, I think, is going to have, you know, a couple thousand fans there. So, you know, that'll probably be a different dynamic. But, yeah, we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens with that. I mean, the – you know, my thing with Conor is this. You know, it's strange to me. You know, the thing that I want to point out is, you know, I predicted Poirier to win the rematch. You know, you remember me predicting that on our show. You and Evan were pretty shocked. I predicted him to win. I mean, I had him by unanimous decision, or maybe it was a split decision, but he ended up winning by finish. I was wrong on the finish, but I was right in the winner. But, you know, the thing that I think people are starting to forget, you know, being that Poirier won the rematch, this reminds me exactly of the Diaz 2 lead up. When Diaz beat McGregor, people switched up on McGregor so quick and literally wrote him off like he was a bum. Like, people started talking about him like he was a bum, no name, with no skills at all. And that is the same stuff that I see on my Twitter timeline every day. Every day that I see conversation about this trilogy, people are saying, you know, Conor's going to get slept again. You know, Conor's boxing, Conor's stance, you know, Conor and the leg kicks. Conor has no takedown defense. And it's like, man, where the hell are y'all coming out with this? Where are you coming out with this from? Because this is the same thing that everybody did with the Nate Diaz 2 buildup. They all said that he was, they all wrote him off like he was nothing. So I know this is a different time. I'm just pointing out the consistencies in both of those. This buildup is the same exact buildup as the Diaz 2 buildup, but even worse. It's probably tenfold worse than that one because people really forgot that he has any skills. And, you know, we're sitting here acting like, you know, we're sitting here saying that, you know, well, not me, but people are sitting here saying that Conor has no takedown defense, and saying how badly that takedown threw him off from Poirier. And it's like, man, if he didn't overlook Poirier and he really went in there and fought, you know, the same way, I think he had a better mindset when he fought against Habib. I think he was in a better place when he fought against Habib because at least for Habib, he was focused on Habib. Like, yeah, he had been drinking whiskey that week and whatever else. He was partying and maybe he wasn't training as much, but you could at least see it that he had a game plan for Habib. And he, you know, you look at the takedowns, you know, he stopped a good percentage of the overall takedowns in that Habib fight. Then you look at the Poirier fight and, you know, first attempt, Poirier takes him down. But I feel like Conor really wasn't expecting him to take him down. So for some reason, you know, but That's not an excuse. You should train for everything and expect everything. Yep. You know, you should expect everything. So, you know, that's on him. You know, that's on him and his team to not to go in thinking, okay, this is just going to be a boxing fight. And you can't just expect that, you know. But I'm just not on board with writing him off like he's never had any skills, because that's what I see on my timeline. And I just can't accept that because, we just saw this guy have great takedown defense and great grappling defense against the best, the best wrestler and grappler that the UFC's ever seen, and that MMA's probably ever seen. He had great takedown defense. If we keep him at a buck, he had great takedown defense. So I think if, he easily has the skill, that he easily has that skill set, and he needs to go into the trilogy expecting everything, expecting the calf kicks, expecting the shoots, expecting the dirty boxing, expecting the stance switch, all different scenarios, all different scenarios. So that's my take on that.
I think the biggest difference between the lead up to this fight and the Nick Diaz fight was that we knew Conor would get back in the gym and train for Nate Diaz. Which he did. He got in there and he trained for Nate Diaz. Even though he did gas a little bit, I want to say in round three, but he did get back in the gym. Whereas for this one, and that was pre-$100 million. So do we really think he's going to get in and train as hard for this fight that he did for the Nate 2 fight? I mean, that's yet to be determined. But he said he wanted to stay active, but he also said we was going to have a Conor year or a Conor season or something like that, and we ain't get that. But one thing about Poirier that I really do like is that Poirier has expanded his game, whereas, when I looked at Poirier, I always thought about him as a boxer. I was like, what can he do if, somebody take him down or whatever? But Poirier has he has actually grown on me. I like the way he fights. I like his mindset. I definitely like what he does outside of the octagon. Does the winner of this third fight, does it really do anything for their legacy? I say no. I think it helps Poirier more than it hurts Conor. Conor will always be a draw. He'll always be a name. So, but I want to see. I want to see how Conor looks. A lot of people said on Twitter that when he wears a certain hairstyle, he's undefeated. And then when he wears this hairstyle, he loses. So, it's a lot of stuff out there. So, let's just see what he looked like. Let's just hope that he's back in the gym training and he makes a couple adjustments and we get a better fight.
Yeah, that's me saying about the hairstyle too. That's me talking about Bald Ortega. Bald Ortega came back and dominated that Bald then. And Ortega went to go grow his hair back, and then I was like, you know what? He's gonna take a L to Volkanovski now, because he grew his hair back. He's gonna go back with those braids. He's gonna go back with the braid, and he's gonna get beat up by Volkanovski. I'm telling you, that's how that fight's gonna go, man. I'm telling you, if he don't come back, if he don't shave his head, once they eventually get that fight, then I know Volkanovski had COVID, so I hope he. I think he is. I think he has recovered from it, matter of fact. But, which is good to hear. It's good to hear you recovered from that. But, once they do get that fight going down the line, I think Volkanovski beats Ortega. Unless Ortega can come in with his head shaved, and he'll have a chance. But if he comes in, with the braid, it's over for him. Volkanovski is going to eat him up.
The reverse Hercules.
Yeah, exactly. And then the thing is too, man, y'all gonna put some respect on Volkanovski, man. Y'all really, because it kills me too. That's the other thing I always see on my timeline is people always hating on Volkanovski, man, all the time. We gotta stop this, okay? Because the dude is good, man. The dude is good. All right, we gotta stop this. I understand the debates about people saying that they don't think They don't think he won, you know, the second fight with Holloway. I mean, that's neither here nor there. That's not even what I'm talking about. What I'm mostly saying is that he's a great fighter, man. People need to just respect the man, all right? It ain't even about whether he beat Holloway the second fight. I don't even care who you have winning the second fight. My point is whether or not he won it, he still puts up he's still in there with a guy like Holloway. You know what I mean? They still needed to have a rematch. Like, he's still in that seat. You know what I mean? Because he's a great fighter. So I just feel like all I see on Twitter is people calling him overrated. And it's like, bro, he's not overrated. He's not overrated, man. He's underrated. You know, he's extremely underrated. People just hate on him all the time. The UFC didn't even give him a marketing. The UFC didn't even give him a marketing push. Guys thought he was a wrestler. He's not a wrestler. He's a savage beast. He's a savage warrior. Okay. And they didn't even like try to give us even a little inkling of who Volkanovski was when he came in. You know, this dude, you know, puts on savage fights, and we just had no idea what he was coming with. But anyways, yeah, that's my little rant for that. I mean, what about your boy though?
Which one?
Your boy Demetrius Johnson is about to be fighting, man, on the main card starts at 10 o'clock, one championship. Demetrius Johnson, 12-time UFC flyweight world champion, you know, going up against this Marais, I forget his first name. Adriano Marais is the flyweight world champion of the ONE Championship, which is I believe they're an MMA organization in Asia. I'm not sure exactly where they're located.
They fight in Singapore.
Singapore, okay. Like, the UFC is kind of based in Vegas, so one championship based in Singapore. So your boy's fighting for the flyweight world title tonight versus Adriano Moraes. I really don't know anything about Adriano Moraes, but I know he's a six-time flyweight world champion. So he's got some title defenses under his belt. This dude is, you know, he's almost like a, you know, I don't even want to finish the statement I was about to make because I don't know anything about him, but. Have you seen the tail of the tape for this fight? What are your thoughts on the fight?
Man, I'm trying to find the reach, but I can't find the reach. I think he's, about 5 inches taller than DJ? 3 inches, at least 3 to 5 inches taller than DJ. I think the reach is the thing. If he has a superior reach advantage, that DJ's going to have to really, really fight a smart fight because he has to close the distance. Whenever you have to close the distance, you're more susceptible to taking shots. I'm very interested in this fight tonight. To our listeners, I am a big Demetrius Johnson fan. I wish he was still in the UFC. But that's neither here nor there. But I'm interested to see this guy he's fighting tonight. Reading everything, he trains with Jussie Formiga, and there was another name that he trains with. Jussie Formiga and Kyoji Horigachi, who's also a good mixed martial artist. I want to say he's on America Top Team also. So, Demetrius going to be tested tonight, bro. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm looking at this. I'm going to look at this card because I want to see what ONE Championship is all about. I want to see what their fighters look like. I want to see what the style of the fights look like. So, I'm definitely excited, man, that they have a TV deal and we get to see their product.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it for sure. It's gonna be live on TNT on regular cable. Card starts at 10 p.m. I'm gonna be tuning into that. That'll be my first time watching ONE Championship. I'm looking forward to some good fights. You know, that's all I got. No prediction. You know, we're just gonna watch and see what happens. I've never watched these guys before, so they're just gonna rock out. You know, Eddie Alvarez.
Yep.
What was that?
I was about to tell you, your boy Eddie Alvarez fighting tonight too.
Yeah, my boy Eddie Alvarez is fighting tonight too, so I'm happy to see that. There's also that guy Rod Tang. I think it's Rod Tang. He's supposed to be pretty crazy. I think Muay Thai is his thing. So he's supposed to be, a highly skilled guy with that. So I think he's the Coco main event under the Alvarez fight. So that's kind of a cool triple header right there. So I'm looking forward to the card. And, that's all I got. Y'all have a good rest of the week. Anybody who listened, I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank everybody who, I thank everybody who listens to our show, if ever. That's it. That's it. And anything you could take the floor, it's yours.
Yeah, man. I just want to say thanks to everybody checking us out on this Wednesday night. I'm definitely looking forward to the night, man. Seeing ONE Championship live. For those that don't know, Eddie Alvarez did lose his first fight in ONE Championship. So they do have some fighters over there. The Pretty Boy also lost his first fight over there. I can't think of his name right now. Sage Northcutt lost his first fight in ONE. So they do have some bangers over there. But that being said, everybody have a good week, great weekend. Take care of yourself. Practice social distancing. Wear your mask. COVID is still out there. Be safe. Positive people with positive energy yield positive results. Lee Keys and Evan signing off. And as always, in closing, peace.